I will talk to you quickly, so you have to listen quickly. You guys ready to listen quickly? I just have a short message, but it's a very helpful message. And I want to talk to you today about change. I want to talk to you about a God that is into us changing. Into us being, really the truth is, what God is really wanting to do, he's just want to restore you to the original vision that he had planned for you. But because we come into this world and we are, because of our parents, we're set up to, we're born of corruptible seed. And so it causes problems. How many recognize that that's true? How many of you have sinned? Raise your hand if you sinned. Okay. Some of you need to raise two hands. I'm just joking with you. But we've all sinned. So I've got three short points that I want to make today. Number one, understand that God changes people. Number one, because we need to be changed. He changes people because we need to be changed. And I don't know where you are, but it is one of the most evil sins there is the sin of self-righteousness. Because the sin, look at Jesus. Where did he really get upset? You know what? It wasn't so much, you know, he told the prostitutes, stop being prostitutes. You know what I mean? He told the drunkards, stop getting drunk. You know what? But where he really, you see, a righteous indignation coming up. When you see Jesus recognizing it's people who said, I don't need to change. See, that's think about it for a minute. Why? I mean, praise God, we're as full as we are. We're gonna be, you know, full the second service. But think about it. How come there's any seats in this place empty? You know, we could go to a restaurant later on, and there'd be people waiting to get in the restaurant. Right? You ever gone to a movie and they're all waiting? You know, what's the, you know what? They got a Spider-Man movie out now? You know what I mean? Amen? You're going to pay $12? $12? It's $12? I don't know, $12? And then popcorn, you know, you pay $38 for a popcorn. Right? It's craziness. You know what I mean? You know what? And why are all these people, and you know what, and let me tell you what, it doesn't make any difference. First of all, let me just be real with you. How many know Spider-Man, I hate to burst anybody's bubbles, how many know Spider-Man's not real? There ain't no guy that can go, whoo, you know what I mean? That's fake, you know what I mean? That's not even real. You know, there's no Spider-Man. I'm really bursting some bubbles. You know, particularly young people like, Pastor, man, word up, man. That's not true. There's no Spider-Man. There's no Spider-Man. You know what? And let me tell you, you might enjoy the movie, but you know what? You're going to go out of the movie the same way you came in. No. You'll be a little different. You'll be a little broker. Is that not right? But you're going to leave the same way you came in. You know what? You came in and all these people, and they're messed up. And here's the problem. Here's the problem. It's my point. You know what? God changes people. Here's why. Because people need to be changed. And most people don't even know they need to be changed. They're thinking, you know what they're thinking? Here's what they think. I ain't that bad. Because here's what we have a tendency to do. We have a tendency to find someone. I think about it. I'm sitting here minding my own business, and you know what? I'm jacked up, and I got all kinds of issues. But how many know there's somebody who's more jacked up than me? Come on. I know there's so many. I'm not, out of all these people, I'm not the worst person. There's somebody more jacked up than me. So if I focus on that, then all of a sudden I judge according to the curve. And I don't think of all the people that are doing better than me. I just think of, you know what, somebody who's doing worse than me. Somebody who, you know what, cusses more than me. Somebody who smokes more dope than me. You know what I mean? Somebody who drinks more than me. Somebody who's more angry than me. Somebody who's more hooked on pornography than me. Somebody who's farther away from God than me. I'm not that bad. Can I tell you what? And there's a lot of debate on this, but I like what I heard one theologian said. They said, you know what the unpardonable sin is? Well, yes, it's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, hallelujah, calculations, you know what? Great pompon, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Great. What does that mean? Yeah, thank you, Peter, for your honest. Oh, no idea. Thank you. Okay. I like what I heard one theologian said, and I believe it's true. He said, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is always pointing to Jesus, it's blasphemous to reject Jesus Christ. I thought, man, that is what I believe blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is. But my point is, can I tell you the most evil thing there is for someone who gave his life for, who gave his son's life for you to think you don't need a Savior. Because let me tell you what, you need a Savior. Why? Because you know the scripture. You know what? Romans 3:23. You know what? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're short. Everybody say, I'm short. And I don't know how short you are. You know what I mean? It's like, I use this example. It's a great example. You know what I mean? So, you know, I'm playing basketball. And you know what? Steve, can you dunk a basketball? No. Okay, so I'm playing basketball with Steve, and you know what? And I'm like, hey, let's see who can dunk the basketball. You know what I mean? And you know what? Steve goes up, and he tries to dunk it, and he can't dunk the basketball. You know what I mean? So then I grab the basketball. And I'm like, let me show you. And I try to dunk the basketball. I can't. You know, would it be ridiculous for me to rip on Steve? Dude, you know what? You missed it by this much. I only missed it by this much. Who cares, amen? We're both dorky trying to dump the basket. You know what I mean? It's just ridiculous that we start to judge, you know what, our sanctification based on somebody else's more unrighteous than we are. When the Bible says, you know what, no, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Who cares? You know what I mean? Short is short. And how many know if we're talking about, watch this, if we're talking about perfection, which is what God's looking for, you know, you sin can't be in the presence of God. Right? So what do we need? We need someone to take away our sin. Why does God change people? Number one, because people need to be changed. Amen. And you know what, really? We need to recognize, man, we need to be changed. People in the grocery store, you know what? They're all around you, all over the place. They need to be changed. And they need to recognize they need to be changed. How come you accepted Jesus? Because at some point in time, I don't know where there was a camp 30 years ago. Maybe it was right here in this church. I don't know. You know what? I don't know where it was. But at some point in time, you recognize, I'm messed up. I need a Savior. First point. You know what? People. But why does God change people? Because they need to be changed. Number two. Watch this. Number two. We need to understand today. Why does God change people? Because everyone needs to be changed. So didn't you just say that? No. You didn't catch it. Let me catch the nuance of the difference between point one and point two. Point one is, you know what? God changes people? Because we need to be changed. That's people coming into the family of God. How many are in the family of God? How many in the family of God? You said, man, if I accepted Jesus Christ, I'm in the family of God. Give me a woo-woo if you're in the family of God. Okay, so all those that woo-woo, you're in the family of God. Woo! Okay, let me give you news today. Here's your point. you are still part of everyone. What's my point? I don't know what you used to do. Let's say you used to smoke dope. You don't smoke dope anymore. Like, dude, I don't smoke dope anymore. Okay, well, here's point two. You need to be changed. Yeah, but I don't smoke dope anymore. Praise God, you don't smoke dope anymore. But you know what? Do you still use profanity? You know, it's interesting. People use profanity. They don't even know they're saying it. You know what I mean? Here's you ever talk to somebody? You mean, man, you say the F word a lot. I mean, what the F you talking about, man? It's like, what? Hello? You know, and here's the thing. They're serious. Am I not right? What I'm saying is, Pastor, I don't say the F word. Okay, thank God you don't say that. For praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. That's great. You don't smoke dope. You don't say the F word. Here's what I'm saying. What is the Holy Spirit saying you need to work on today? Because here's what I'm saying. I guarantee you, the Holy Spirit isn't saying, you know, the Holy Spirit isn't speaking over you. No, nothing. No one. See, everyone. See, even if we're in the family of God, we still need to be sensitive to what God is saying, what we need to change. Thank God that we're not who we used to be. Thank God that because of the blood of Jesus Christ and his grace and his mercy, we're different than we used to be. But let's not get too self-righteous and thinking, man, I'm there yet. Because I don't know about you, but I'm not there yet. And what I recognize is no, none of us are there yet. Here, if you're there yet, you're in pride. And that's one of the biggest sins you could ever do. Is that not right? See, it's the grace of God that he's looking for. I mean, it's humility that he's looking for. Because a humble person says, okay, thank God. The humble person says, I didn't stop smoking dope because of my power anyway. Right? But God, what do you have for me to do today? What else is there? Because I guarantee you, I can look more like Jesus this month than I did last month. I can look more like Jesus this year than last year. I'm just asking, does anybody not need to be changed today? Do you see my point? And be humble to say, to cry to God, say, God, show me what it is. Because God will show it to you. And he loves when you have a willingness to say, God, show me what it is. What do you want? Number one, God changes people because people need to be changed, whether they recognize it or not. They need a Savior. Number two, because everybody needs to be changed. Maybe you're already born again. You still need to be changed. You still need to look more like Jesus. And number three, watch this. God changes people. Watch this. This is so good. Because others need you to be changed. Other people need you to be changed. Look at this, one of my favorite scriptures that Jesus said. It's in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. I quote it all the time, but I want to have it up here that you could read it with me. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus said, man, let me tell you what. I want you, see, understand this. Many of these people, they have, think about it for a minute. The standard of righteousness is so diluted nowadays. Like when I was growing up, you know what, you started to see the, you know what, the kind of the trash on TV, just starting to be. You know what? And we saw more trash and more trash and more trash. And nowadays, are you kidding me? Watch this. Where is the standard of righteousness? Yeah. I just read the other day, Boy Scouts, this is the Boy Scouts, transgendered kids cannot be kicked out of the Boy Scouts. He said, Pastor, what's wrong with that? It's my point. Boy, it got quiet. You know, start talking about transgender. It's like, what's going on? What's he going to say? And it's good to see you guys in the back. Thank you. The standard of righteousness, the bar is so low, that we go to churches and pastors are too freaked out to say anything about, you know what, sexuality. Amen? Amen. Let me see in the Bible. There's stuff that is right and there's stuff that is wrong. Let's just talk about sex for a minute. So you understand the standard. Here's standard of righteousness. You know what? Here's sex according to the Word of God. One man, one woman, fully committed to each other in marriage. Rock and roll. Go for it. All day long. Pastor, should I say amen to that or not? No, say amen to that. Amen? Say amen to that. Okay. Anything outside of that, you know what? It's just, you know what? Man, man, woman, woman, man, woman, outside of marriage, It's just all, unless it's in those parameters. And what I'm saying, here's what I'm saying, Drew. Pastors won't say that anymore. Because the standard of righteousness. So how in the world is some young person who's coming to your church, how in the world are they supposed to know if even the pastor won't stand up and say, here's the standard of righteousness. How do they know? Here's how they know. Let your light shine before men. You know what? Don't talk about Jesus. I mean, talk about Jesus, but don't just talk about Jesus. Act like Jesus. That they will see your good works. These people don't know. And they're not, have you noticed? You know what? Many of them, they're not coming to our church. In that, they're not coming to this building. So God has a plan. His plan is strategic to plant you in places of work and places of school and different places in out there. Why? That they would see not what you say, but what you do. That they would see your good work and then glorify your Father in heaven. Why has God changed people? Here's why. Because people that are changed show Jesus to other people, and then those people come to the family of God. See, we've got to understand. And where are you at today? I don't know where you're at. Maybe you're not in the family of God. You need to change. You need to recognize you need a Savior. Come in the family of God. Maybe you're already in the family of God. Point two, you still need to be changed. What is God saying to you? Because I guarantee you, God's not saying you're there yet. And why is God doing this? Here's why. Because His will is that none perish. He wants in you walking around acting like Jesus. And when they see your good works, they're going to glorify God in heaven. Amen. Amen. See, that's what happened to these people. They got changed. And they're in the process of changing. And because they're in the process of changing, now, how many got inspired today? Yeah. Amen. Amen. And I'm praying for you.
I decree and declare that your change will be serious in your heart, that you will have this desire to look every day more like Jesus, amen. And that you will be bold to tell people with your mouth and with your actions that Jesus is the Lord of your life, that he's changed your life forever, and he can change their life too. Amen. We are to let our light shine. Sweetie?
Praise the Lord, huh? Thank you so much, Drew and Skylar, and just the whole team for just ministering to us. We love Jesus, as I know you do, and it is so good to just to hear, you know what, of his work in other people's lives. It's encouraging. The Bible tells us it's how we defeat Satan. You know what? The word of our testimony. It brings encouragement. It just validates everything that we know of who he is. Amen. It is a cooperation between them and the Spirit of God that is just going to just completely restore their lives back, just like us. We're all in the same place. We have things that we need to be restoring back to God's way. I love the second point, first point. They're combined. You know what? Every one of us needs to change. Amen. I just want to share real quick what was on my heart when I woke up this morning. I think one of the greatest ways, and I don't think there's anyone in the room that this doesn't apply to, I think we take it very lightly. If we examined our life to the Word of God, talk about falling short. I believe every one of us would fall short, and some of us super short in this area. And that is the area of our mouth. The Word of God is so, I'll bet you, there's no one in this room that I couldn't say to you, you know what, if you've been hurt by somebody's words ever in your life, please stand. The whole room would stand. I won't even take the time to do it because it's completely true. The Bible says that life is in our mouth and that death is in our mouth. It's funny because in the morning prayer, right after morning prayer, and I, you know what, Drew, I began to think, what the heck could I do that wouldn't be completely gross and just really mess up the sanctuary? Because we need, you know, a visual is really strong. Like if you get a visual, it can stick with you way better than words can stick with you. It's a great teaching tool. And I, wherever, if Josh is in the house or not, I don't know if he is, but I saw this skit going on. And in this skit, there's just daily life going on. Maybe two students at school, maybe a husband and wife in their home, maybe a mother and daughter. And in this skit that was happening, there's someone who's walking around kind of behind these people. And so a mother and a daughter have a conversation, and the person behind them has buckets. And if we're speaking life, then this bucket just spills, I don't know, let's say just beautiful rose petals everywhere, right? But if we're speaking death, just something nasty comes out of the bucket. And we begin to just visually see, you know what we're doing. We were created in the image of God. God spoke everything into existence. And what I hear the Spirit of God saying to me this morning is, God, help us that we don't understand the power that he's given us with our mouths. I thought to myself, we need to begin a think campaign. You know, the Bible says be slow to speak. Do you know the Bible says you will be held accountable for every word that comes from your mouth? Do you know the Bible says, well, we already talked about life and death comes from the power of your tongue. Do you know the Bible says, do not say anything that is not edifying for the hearer to hear? Do God's kind of, he gets it. But do we? We're his body. So how effective are we if we don't get something that important? We've been working with the teens quite a bit and the millennials here. No coarse jesting. You know what? You know the Bible says that? Our little jokes that we, just kidding. Don't do it, God says. Don't do that. Why would he tell us don't do it? You think he knows what we've already learned firsthand? Do you think he's trying to keep us from that? You ever had someone do their funny little just kidding joke at your expense? And it's supposed to just take away those words of death when they say, just kidding. Does it? It hasn't been my experience that it just takes it away. Not at all. And I know it's not yours either. We're not to be doing that. We need to have, there's this acronym, THINK. A little THINK campaign. It's why the Bible tells us be slow to speak. I mean, we really need to begin to think before we open up our mouth. I know for a fact that in Pastor Drew's life, and I know he shared it with you guys many times, that there was a time in his life, right in the beginning, as God was really... God called him when he was in his mother's womb. Do you understand that? He had a plan and a purpose for Pastor Drew before he was ever born. God already knew. I almost said when God began to call him. Not true. When Pastor Drew began to cooperate with the plan of God in his life, when Pastor Drew began to get on that path, you know what, and begin to not only hear God's voice, but then to begin to walk it out. When that happened, there was somebody very significant in his life that would speak life into his life. He would always say, you're a man of God. He really wasn't all that much of a man of God. Do you understand that? If you looked at it in the natural... If you looked at it in the natural. But what is truth? Was he a man of God or was he not a man of God? What is truth? That's right. From way back here. It's who he is. It's who God called him to be. So in my THINK campaign, I swear we might have t-shirts. I'm not kidding. Because the body of Christ has to get this. Amen. Oh, Joel just bought one. Right there. I see that hand. He's got one. He's in. He's first one in. He's all in on this. So THINK. Here's the acronym. T. Is it true? But remember what I just said. What is truth? Truth is what God says. That is truth. There is no truth outside of this word. Do you understand? H. Is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? That's a good one for us. K, is it kind? THINK. I bet you we'd be some quiet little birds if we were on a THINK campaign. We'd either be quiet little birds or we would be some serious eagles. Do you understand that? It's the truth. It's the truth. Amen. Second t-shirt right there. You heard it. Whoever's designing the shirts, come up with it. Before you speak, think. It's a way I promise you every one of us needs to change. Amen. Amen. Wow. Thank you guys so much. You know what? You really did inspire us. Isn't it good to see everything that God's doing outside of us? Amen. And through us. And through us. You know what? As we're part of Teen Challenge, we haven't met your new director, Ron Brown. Yeah. Never met him. It was Phil and Janie back in the day. But we are so excited for what God is doing, you know what, through his leadership with Teen Challenge and you guys. So grateful. So, amen. Can I just pray over us real quick before we close that we would think before we speak? Amen. Father, I just thank you that every one of us, that the Spirit of God will do his job. Holy Spirit, convict us of things that you would have us change in our life. Continue us on a path of restoration as we move forward to honor you with our lives, as we seek to be your vessels in this earth to do the good works that you've planned for us. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in each and every person's life. And I pray that you would put a watch over our mouth and that the Spirit of God, if you give the Holy Spirit permission to just convict you strongly for every word that would come from our mouth that is not pleasing to you, that is not of you, may we become very, very sensitive to the Spirit of God. And may we hear, you said that your sheep hear your voice and the voice of another they'll not follow. I pray that we would begin to hear with such a clarity what the Spirit of God is saying to us concerning our mouth and life and death, that we would begin to bring great restoration to many around us as we begin to become very on point with our mouths, that we would lift each other up, encourage each other, and edify each other, that we would share what God has done in our lives to those who are just waiting to hear. Father, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen, amen, amen.